This week's parsha is Parshas Matos Maaseh. We complete Sefer Bamidbar, and we are celebrating Rosh Chodesh Av. We begin the month of Av this Shabbos, Friday night and Shabbos. Want to dedicate this Torah study first in honor of Bob Klausner on his completion of Seder Nashim, and Refu Shlema for Rivka Chana Bas Zipporah, Chaim Baruch Ben Rachel Malka, Nava Dina Bas Shterna. They shall Refu Shlema. So we have a double parsha. There's a lot going on. Wanted to focus on one specific idea that it's aligned with this time of the year. We're talking about entering into the 9-day period from the beginning of Av. The Gemara tells us, Misha Nichnas Av Mematim Besimcha. When the month of Av begins, we lessen our joy. There's a kind of sadness, but there's a certain heaviness to this time of year, because from the beginning of the month until the 9th and the 10th as well, there was a one after the other of negative things that have occurred to us over our history. There's destruction of the temple, but it started with the spies coming back with a negative report, and on the 9th of Av, they told over their negative, the Lashon Hara, about the land of Israel. The Jewish people cried, and Hashem said, you're crying for no reason, but I'll give you a reason to cry in the future at this time. The positive, as there's always a silver lining, is we go from the 9th of Av, which is the saddest day on the calendar, to Tu B'Av, which is the 15th, which is said to be the happiest day on the calendar, that and Yom Kippur. So that's why it says when the month begins, we're Ma'it B'Simcha. We lessen our joy, because at the turn of the month, we increase it. So one thing that does come out in this parsha in Maaseh is after the travels, we start focusing in on coming to the land of Israel. And in that, we talk about the chalukas haaretz, the division, distribution of the land. And then we go into discussing what the land will look like. There is an idea of having a network of arei miklat, arei levim, cities of refuge, 6 major cities, and then an additional 42 cities that belong to the Levites. Really, there's a total of 48. And this whole network is set up so that if someone, God forbid, would kill someone by accident, they can go there to be protected. So it's called the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge, and it's an entire network that's spread out throughout the country of Israel, so that when someone would die, would be killed accidentally, that those places were set up as a protection zone. Which, if we just take a step back, just to visualize that the idea of Eretz Yisrael, of the Holy Land, is that it has to be set up in this way, so that there is this, it's this signs everywhere, this way to the Arei Miklat, this way, that way, so that as you live your life in the land, the way it's supposed to be set up is that, in a certain sense, we're so cognizant of how important life is, that if, God forbid, a life is lost and it's done without the intent of wanting to kill someone, but understand how precious life is, you have to go to this Arei Miklat. It's everywhere. It's wherever you go, wherever you move, you're going to be reminded of this thing. And so that even, God willing, when Mashiach comes, that's going to be a necessity. It's going to be necessary to have this, because that's what the land requires. Within this context, the beginning of the discussion of the distribution of the land, it says like this. It's chapter 34. It says, Hashem says to Moshe, and he says, instruct the Israelite people, Tzavet ben Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem, and tell them, ki atem ba'im el haaretz kenan. You, when you enter the land of Canaan, zos haaretz, this is the land, Asher tipol lachem benachala, Eretz Kenan legvuloseha. Asher tipol lachem, this land shall fall to you as your portion. Eretz Kenan legvulota, the land of Canaan with its various boundaries. So this is a pasuk. When you stop, you say, Okay, what did we just say? It says, when you come to the land of Canaan, this land, Asher tipol lachem benachala, which will fall to you. What do you mean, will fall to you? It's a strange thing. What do you mean, will fall to you? So, the Sforno picks up on this, and others also. Rashi points out this idea of tipol. It must be talking about the idea of the lottery, and that the way that the land is distributed is through lottery. To quote the Sforno, the word tipol, to fall, is used to describe the manner in which lots are drawn, i.e. a die is cast, it falls. You will each be assigned your ancestral heritage even before the end of the military campaign resulting in the land's conquest. The expression nafal, in connection with lots, is found in the Psalms as well as in the Megillat Esther. The reason why the Torah words uses this, zos, which at first glance appears to be superfluous, is to tell us that anything conquered outside the boundaries, which will now be described, is not subject to division by lottery. We'll find this confirmed by the fact that Moshe distributed the land of Sichon and Og without resorting to any lottery. The reason for this is that those lands do not have the degree of sanctity which is integral to the Holy Land. Yoshua confirmed this when he spoke of Va'af im tam'ah aretz achuz aschem, even if the land of your inheritance is unclean. Yoshua denied the right of the 2.5 tribes of the East Bank to build an altar, even if thereby they had meant to add sanctity to the soil that they lived on, which was not holy or sacred by definition. The major reason why this land could not be distributed by lottery was that the lottery reflected divine decisions, and God could not mix in unless the land concerned was holy by itself. So the only place that the Goral, that ends the Sforno. The only parts that were used, that the distribution or the chaluka, the way that we divide the land, was done with a lottery, was the actual land of the 9.5 tribes on the other side of the bank, within the land of Israel as we know it, not on the other side of the Jordan. So the lands of Og and the ones that we conquered that were outside the Holy Land, that was not with the Goral. That was not with the lottery. But when it came to the area of the 9.5 tribes, what we call the Holy Land, that was with the Goral. That was with the lottery. Because we need to understand the nature of the Holy Land, of Eretz Yisrael. And that is that what happens there is dictated and intertwined with Hashem in the closest way possible. And so, when it comes to the other parts, when it came to the 2.5, to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Menashe, on the other side of the Jordan, they take the land. There is no Asher Tipol. It doesn't fall because there is no lottery. There is no Goral. When it comes to the Holy Land, we need a lottery because that shows how the nature of the existence of the Jewish people there is completely intertwined with Hashem and how things are going to play out. Is with the Goral. It's with that divine intervention in the most intense way possible, more than any, greater than any other place. And that's to say, not to the exclusion, meaning not that in other places of the world do we not have God and His involvement, but rather the flip side. When it comes to this place, it's where God is watching from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Enei Hashem, He is watching. He's involved. The intensity of our experience of Hashem in this place is the greatest. And therefore, when we see the beginning of the description of Chalukas Haaretz, of how we separate the land, it's Asher Tipol Lachem. It falls to you. It has to, by definition, with the Goral, with the lottery. Because that's how when we want to understand the deepest connection of God's involvement and closest, it's when we have that type of setup with the Goral. And so, therefore, as we go into this time period of the 9 days where there's a lack, where there was a darkness, when Hashem Kaviyachol, he turned his back. We call it Hester Panim. God turns his face away. But why? It's from the place where we should have the most concentrated, where God is turning his face to us. When we say the Birchas Kohanim, which is said every day in the land of Israel, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, we say God should turn his face. It's the idea of this is where Hashem's face is most concentrated. So what we pray for in the time of the 9 days, where we should feel a sense of loss, of destruction of the temple, where Hashem's face and his it was so, it was tangible in terms of our connection to him in that place, and we lost that, and we mourned the loss of that. But here we have description of what it should be, Asher Tipol Lachem Benachala, which will fall to us, the land will fall to us in a way that we feel Hashem's touch and intimacy, the closeness that's concentrated in that place. So therefore, as we feel that lack, here's what it is. This is the place, Asher Tipol Lachem Benachala, Begoral, because that's the place, and this is what we're longing for. May Hashem bless us, that as we go into this period of time, that it should be turned from a time of sadness and lack and darkness, and that Hashem should turn his face to us and smile, and we should feel his countenance, his closeness to us, and we should be zochet to see Yimos HaMashiach, when we'll have a network of Arei Miklat, so that we'll be able to sense the importance of life, and therefore, everywhere we look, there's a sign to this way to the Arei Miklat, because the last thing we'd want ever want to do is lose a life, even, God forbid, if it's unintentional. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.